Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
When you try to fight with your big brother, you know, you can put up a little fight in the beginning like they did in the first quarter, but usually after four quarters of four rounds, big brother usually wins.
And one comes back to a formation. This is going to be a play-action throw. Looking for somebody downfield. Wide open, Gary Bryant Jr., 3-2, touchdown, Gary Bryant Jr.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brendan Sprague.
Lobbing left side, intercepted Alex McLaughlin up the right sideline. No one's going to catch him. Alex McLaughlin's eighth career touchdown goes all the way into the end zone here in Pullman. Touchdown, Washington, a pick six for the Dogs.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday to everybody out there. You can find us on 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, or YouTube. YouTube.com/1080 AM. Or 108, no, 105.1
no,
The Fan.
105.1 The Fan.
God, dude. Is it 105.1 FM The Fan or 105.1 The Fan?
Yes.
I'm very bad with the URLs, but you can find us on YouTube. 105.1 The Fan is what Swigart's telling me in my ear.
Easy to find. Go subscribe to the channel, man.
Or the Odyssey app.
Or the Odyssey app.
Also, you could put 1080 AM The Fan into the URL, and it will still take you to 105.1 The Fan on YouTube.
I think it'll send you that way. Yeah. We still are on 1080 AM.
Correctamundo. We have a coach's smorgasbord of audio from losers this weekend.
I was worried one was going to happen, and as I'm watching the game, I'm like, yeah, I was right to be worried. They're not there yet. They're not ready yet.
Really?
Yeah. I felt bad for him. Right. I was rooting for him, but man, I ended up being right on one of them.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program, but we must start. Not very often in my life here locally, whether I was a radio host, a media member, or a student fan, whatever, have I seen a team lose 41-7 and people have optimism from it.
I mean, when your first couple of games are as ugly as they are, any sign of life will lead to positive takeaways, and at least they had a scoring drive.
I will also say this. I don't think most fans, if not all fans, have that. I think the media narrative was fascinating to me. I predicted exactly what would happen in the second half, and I had people telling me in the first half this and that, and then they didn't text me back in the second half. And I thought that was odd. I thought it was all... I thought the effort was there and better. And
well, on my side of it, I'm tired of winning games by 40 points and having to find answers for what's wrong with my football team. Last week, it's
you gave up a touchdown.
It's 34-0 in the fourth quarter, and then it's I don't know about how they ended that game. I don't know. And then they had one horrible defensive series, which yes, I will grant you is the worst I've seen them play defensive football in maybe 10 years in Eugene, Oregon. That was such a bad series from start to finish. Outside of that one drive, do you know how many first downs Oregon had or Oregon State had the entire game? Take away the one scoring drive. You know how many first downs they had?
Two?
Three.
I was close.
They had won the entire first half. Oregon State gained one first down the entire second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you should be panicked.
I'm ready to go play somebody who talent for talent is like a test of where are we at? Where do we need to improve? How does it get better? It just, you learn nothing from these games, and it's fun to watch them, and it's exciting to see your team play, and then you're like, all right, I'm just ready for one that matters.
Well, because your team kicked some field goals and had a couple punts, my team is concluding that their defense is good, even though they gave up almost 600 yards and 41 points.
That is very
true. Their Oregon quarterback had his best career day, as he cited, I was mentally depressed when I played them at Reser, and I wanted payback.
You could tell he was pressing early in the game. I didn't really play into that storyline last week. Like, I'm always wondering, what am I missing about this game? And that was one that was kind of a blind spot for me. That was a like, he got benched. That was ugly. He threw pick sixes. It was bad when he was in Corvallis.
Him and Lanning watched the game together this
they
past
did.
Week.
And you could tell that he was, like, early in the game. On the opening drive, they scored. But on, like, the second or third play, he had, I want to say it was Benson down the field,
he
wide open.
Throws,
and he overthrew him. And you're like, hasn't done that a lot. And he had a few. He had some incredible throws on top of it. And as you point out, statistically, the best game of his career. But there were some moments where he looked tight and was kind of pressing early in that game.
Betcher had a really funny post game. He famously is known as the baseball player who's a linebacker. Although I would ask, like, if you're Bryce Betcher, are you going baseball or football professionally? Because he got drafted, right, in the fifth round?
Somewhere around there.
So, like, has he said publicly if he's going to do baseball or football?
I don't think that he has announced what he's going to do.
He did get, the Astros drafted him, and they understood.
13th round.
13th round, thank you.
Yeah.
And they understood he was going to go back.
They're allowing him to, understand. My money would be on him playing in the NFL.
I would think so, too.
That would be my money. But
he talked in the post game. He was recruited by Oregon State for baseball, but not to the point where they cared about him as a baseball player. They basically told him he would be down there for a weekend. They'd set him up, and then they called, and then they reached out and said, hey, sorry, we just forgot about you. And he said, don't worry, I haven't forgotten about you, and I will remember this. I'm going to Oregon. And so in the post game, he dropped one of these lines.
When you try to fight with your big brother, you know, you can put up a little fight in the beginning like they did in the first quarter, but usually after four quarters or four rounds, big brother usually wins.
Yeah, he has a personal tie to that rivalry.
I don't blame him at all. I understand why people laugh at that, and I just kind of roll my eyes at it because it's not the rivalry that it used to be.
Well, but it meant something to him.
It meant something to him, and that you cannot take away. Anthony tells the story every year when we do the pregame show where he went to an Oregon State camp when he was in middle school, a football camp, and he was trying to play running back or defensive back, and one of the Oregon State coaches on the staff at the time pulled him aside and basically told him, you should think about playing another sport. And he was like, he remembers that. He remembers the coach. He remembers everything about it to this day. And that, like, those kind of things, when you're slighted by another staff or another organization, I totally get why it's personal to them.
Trent Bray, they had a delightful little first quarter for themselves. And Trent Bray says, this is who we can be.
Yeah, I think for the first half, we were doing what we wanted to do as far as, say, competing, playing hard on our work. And it was good. And it looked like we wanted to look, kind of let go of the rope in the second half and got back to making the same mistakes that put us in this position. You know, cut guys loose in the back end, special teams, blunders, you know, put the ball on the ground. So it's a tale of two halves, and this is how good we are capable of being in that first half. And we need to be at four quarters.
That audio courtesy of BeaverEdge.com, because the athletic department didn't post his post game. So obviously that sounds like somebody that's like 15 feet away from him.
Filming with a cell phone.
They don't post video on the road of the coach talking to anybody. It's about as bad an operation for an athletic department as it possibly gets to not have that or care about it is remarkable to me. I don't know how long his arms are, but man, he's reaching even further to tell me that a tale of two halves. Like, dude, you played okay in the first quarter. You were down 21-7 at halftime, and it didn't look like Oregon was even awake to play the football game.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's pointing at. Watched a punter just run 15 yards on a fourth down because nobody had an assignment to watch the punter run. Just sloppy play. I don't have a lot, man.
This is why I don't want to play the game anymore. I just don't get... there's just nothing out of it.
But this season is especially awful for them. Like, they can lose this in the future and be 3-1. And we'll go, Oregon is better. Oregon has the horses. There's the difference. It's going in 0-3, looking absolutely lifeless at Texas Tech, choking away Fresno State, and getting smoked out the gate at your home opener as a home favorite against Cal.
Right.
That's the problem with the game. It's not just that the horses are on one side. It's that they were coming in already with bad momentum. And then because they played an okay first quarter, there's some weird narrative that, hey, they tried hard and their defense is really good. It's almost 600 yards of offense they gave up, 41 points. They scored only 7. They have no offensive line. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills listening to some of the narrative stuff.
I mean, some of the narratives are, hey, at least they hiked the ball to the punter. You know, at least you got that down. You didn't have any block punts or balls rolling around on the ground. So that's where the bar is at currently in terms of where you should be as a football program. I would also just add to it, too, like I shouldn't take away the only thing they accomplished in the game, but I am going to. Like, the only reason they scored the touchdown was because Oregon decided to shove their head up their ass defensively for a series and just not guard people and miscommunicate. And they had one of the most obvious screen situations on a 3rd and long because they knew Oregon State wasn't going to stand him back there under pressure because he can't throw under pressure.
No, he can't.
So on 3rd and long, what do you call as an offense coordinator when that's a situation? Your quarterback's in screen. And what did Oregon do against the first screen of the game on a 3rd and long? They all just sprinted after Malik Murphy and forgot about the running back, and they gave up a huge chunk gain. And then on the play that set up the touchdown, it was a complete miscommunication, busted coverage, wide open wide receiver. So there's times when you're getting beat and you're playing good defense and you're like, man, tip of the cap, that wasn't terrible, that was just a really nice throw and a really nice catch. That wasn't even necessarily the scenario in their only scoring drive of the game. It was more about Oregon just forgetting to play football. It felt like the start of the game. Oregon came out, scored easily on their opening drive. Oregon State went 3 and out, and they hit the button of, all right, see, like this. I mean, Oklahoma State all over again. This thing's over. And then it's like, wait a minute, we punted. Then you had a bad defensive series and you had to punt again. All of a sudden you look up halfway through the second quarter and it's like, all right, guys, we got to get going. And next thing you know, it's 35-7.
To me, it kind of reeked a little bit of Northwestern, to be honest with you. I think Lanning was very complimentary of a lot of things of his team. The defense locked down after the touchdown. Dante had his best career game as a starting quarterback. It just looked like a team that knew Penn State was this week.
Yes.
And most of us were like on the air saying like, oh, it's going to be a blowout. It was a blowout. Just because they didn't cover a number doesn't mean it wasn't a blowout. They blew them out, and there was never a doubt. But it just, to me, I was watching a team who have I watched all year, and albeit the opponents haven't been great, right? Northwestern, Montana State, and Oklahoma State.
No, they've beaten nobody.
But I'd watched that team all year closely enough to say, oh, yeah, they look like they're ready for Penn State and they have to play a game. Like, they're forced to do this and they don't really want to because they know they'll win this game. And Oregon State had a moment and that was it.
Yeah.
Because at one point in the fourth quarter, Malik Murphy was 4 of 16 for 53 yards.
Yeah,
it's
that was
one of the worst quarterback stat lines I've ever seen of a quarterback.
He was awful.
In the fourth. Yeah, he was awful.
He was horrible.
His offensive line is awful.
Yeah.
They don't have a running game. Who's his number one target? Their tight ends have been complete no-shows. Trent Walker gets shut down, and you have nobody else. Like, I'm not making excuses for Malik Murphy, but he clearly is the wrong quarterback for whatever this system is, and that system's not operating very well right now. I think they're, God, what was the stat? I forgot to post it, but I saw it, and it's like they're one of the bottom four offenses in college football right now from a statistic standpoint.
I mean, it sounds about right. Their rushing yards per game, I want to say, came in the 120s somewhere nationally. They were averaging 70 rushing yards per game coming in, and this weekend they had 67, so the average is going to go down. They had a total of 147 yards of offense. They were 4-12 on third down, and as I pointed out earlier, they had 5 first downs on one series. The rest of the game, they had 3.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, offensively, I don't know where they're going to go. I think what I would say on the Oregon State side of things, because Oregon will be the bigger storyline the rest of the week, because now they finally play a game that matters and an opponent that can equal them in talent, and I'm very excited to watch that one and finally have some juice the week going into an Oregon game outside of just, hey, what freshmen are going to play in the fourth
quarter? What's
the future
of this?
Right? Like, I'm just excited to actually see a game that matters. For Oregon State, I wasn't going to learn anything about them in this game because the talent gap is so wide. Like, the games that you were going to learn about Oregon State in, and we talked about at the start of the year, was the Cal game in the opener, the Fresno State game in week 2. We weren't quite sure about Texas Tech, who now all of a sudden looks like a playoff team after they blew out Utah this weekend. and then Houston on Friday night. Like, those are games where there's not a Grand Canyon of talent gap difference between the two programs, and can you play competent football for four quarters and put up a fight? Like, I think we're going to learn far more on Friday night about Oregon State than we ever would have this weekend, because just from a talent standpoint, they didn't have a chance.
A couple carryovers and a little bit of an apple cup. We got a coach's smorgasbord for the Ticker at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We had a lot of losers this week, and we'll get to the smorgasbord loser edition of college football coming up for the Daily Ticker. Oregon State has opened as an 11.5-point underdog to Houston on Friday night.
I mean, look, we were just talking about it in the break. That should be it. Like, this is, it's not going to be, but this should be it.
I mean, you need to have real questions out loud about why is the athletic director if he fires him this weekend, regardless of the outcome. Yes. You cannot publicly come out and support the coach.
And 2 weeks later.
Now, you can do it in the offseason.
Yeah.
And then a couple months, some boosters come up to you and go, actually, no, we're not.
Right.
That.
We're tired of this. We need to restart here.
To pivot that quick, you would have egg on your face as you announce that firing.
And he's had a lot of egg on his face over the last couple of years. It's just like the moral victory stuff is out the window. It's you're 0-4. You're facing 0-5. If you lose that game and it's not competitive in any way, shape, or form, and Houston is in control throughout and kind of dominates you, I don't understand what argument there would be for keeping him around. Because then you're waiting for, like, the late season moral victories over bad football teams at home.
Well,
for
actually,
people to do the rah-rah of, like, see, we're heading in the right direction. We beat Lafayette at home.
Yeah, okay. I love that they could potentially be 0-5, and I have people writing that their schedule breaks down easier for them. I'm like, if you're the 0-5 team.
Yeah, should it be easy against anybody?
Like, should you be Wake Forest?
Right.
If that's the Coug team that's going to show up, should you beat them twice? I don't know about that. Eckhouse is going to house you. He did it to the Huskies a little bit.
How is that guy not starting their first two games of the season? What are we doing, Cougs? Or three games, I guess.
They were keeping up in that game, though.
Dude, offensively, they were fantastic. I mean, I don't know if that's more about them finding an offense or Washington's defense being a problem, or similar to the Oregon storyline of, like, are they just entirely mentally moved on to Ohio State this weekend? Like, time will tell on what the answer is to all those things, but in terms of rivalry games, it's funny. We said this throughout the week. Like, we talked about there being no juice when in reality, the Cougs won the game last year. The first year that they were kicked aside and said, you're in purgatory and not in a conference, they beat the Huskies. And then in year two in Pullman, that was a 7-point game at the start of the fourth quarter. That was 31-24. The Huskies ended up pulling away and covering the number. But that game was back and forth and a lot of fun to watch for about 80% of it.
Yeah, that was one of those, like, I couldn't tell if I was watching. The Cougars are the weirdest team to me to try to predict.
Yes, the season makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
At all. They should have lost to Idaho. They blow out San Diego State. They get housed by North Texas, and they're competitive at home against the Huskies.
And I'll give Washington at least this. Like, that could have been a, oh my God, we're doing this again. They settled in defensively. They got pressure. They picked him off.
Yeah, they forced some turnovers.
And their offense was humming.
I don't think Washington State forced a punt the entire night.
Coleman, DeMond, and Boston were just unstoppable for Washington. So they ended up housing them in the Apple Cup. It's just funny how we have this quote-unquote rivalry game where one team is looking ahead, and now here we are.
Here we are, baby. It's
Oregon Penn State week.
It's finally the week where things kick up and start to matter.
Oh.
We've been waiting for this one forever. We knew Oregon was going to be 4-0. We knew that nobody was really going to push them in their non-conference and one conference game scheduled to open the season. And now the real football can begin, and you start to figure out, where are you at? Do you stack up with one of the best teams on the road? Are you truly one of the best teams in the sport? Are there areas of concern that showed up in the first month that now will rear their ugly head? Is Penn State going to run the ball all over you? Like, are the penalties that all of a sudden showed up this past weekend after having a game with no penalties? Like, a lot of them offensively not converting and punting and kicking field goals was them just shooting themselves in the foot with, you know, procedural penalties and holding calls and a block in the back on a big gain. You're like, all right, there's a 12-yard gain wiped off. Now it's 2nd and 27. Here comes a field goal or a punt. Like, they did a lot of stuff to hurt themselves this weekend. Is that more about shifting the focus mentally to Penn State and just not being present in the game this weekend? Or is that something that you're going to do on the road and it dooms you this weekend in Penn State?
So that's kind of my question to you is, I don't put any stock in any single thing Oregon State did. Their defense, not impressive to me. They got shredded. Their offense stinks. I look at the other side, though, and I can easily just say, well, look ahead spot. Effort didn't seem to be there. They didn't seem as awake and ready to go for that game as maybe a lot of us thought they would be, but eventually they took care of their business because they were just better.
Yeah.
Is there any element of what you saw that has you kind of going, ooh, you know, watch this at Penn State? Like, I'm not saying one defensive drive should be the bear out takeaway of what you have or are going into Penn State, but if Penn State's going to beat you, it's going to be with the running the football, right?
Yes, that's been the focal point of their offense for a long time.
So you can look at the Northwestern game a little bit. You can look at some elements, moments, I guess, of the Oregon State game. What did Oregon State finish with statistically on the ground?
They finished 60? As a team with 67 yards. Thank you. 2.67 yards per carry.
So, like, that's a really great day. I would argue that's one of Oregon State's best rushing performances of the season.
Slightly below their season average, but yes, you're not wrong.
But so is it the rush defense, Dante maybe having some juice of payback, missing? Like, I'm just curious if there was any takeaway from what you've seen the last 2 weeks, albeit the opponent's not very good, that have you kind of like antennas up going into Penn State?
There's not. I can't do it because it's so hard to gauge mentally where a team is at. And I think it's so hard to keep your focus and your intensity for a month of football of games that you know you're going to dominate.
Yeah.
I think that's a really hard thing to do. And it's really like, it's the one benefit for teams that get to play one of those kind of juicy matchups early in the year where you get a game where you get fired up for it and it kind of refocuses you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this was a team, last week against Northwestern where you're playing at 9 o'clock in the morning in front of a high school stadium. And they were pretty lackadaisical, and the same thing happened this weekend at home. I think we expected them to have a better effort right out of the gate because of the way the game ended last week. But also, there's the mindset, like, these are college kids. I remember bringing this up on Friday of, like, how much of the Apple Cup and Civil War are we going to leave saying, God, they're just ready to go play Ohio State and Penn State. Like, they're just mentally moved on. And that was my takeaway from the majority of the first half. I don't have a lot of glaring concerns off of what I've seen for four games because I don't know if I've seen Oregon play at their best or be at their sharpest or be their most focused.
Yeah, you have.
And Oklahoma State, sure. But also the Oklahoma State thing, like, that dude, they might be the worst team in all of college football.
I don't disagree with
that.
So
they whooped their ass and they were focused and ready to go in that game, but they also were down by 2 scores at home to Tulsa on Friday night, and they should fire their head coach because they might be the worst team in the entire country.
I think Oregon State could beat Oklahoma State.
But yes, in terms of seeing them focus and ready to go, like, yes, I see.
Don't do that to me. Don't say something. Some little backhanded compliment.
I think you're the real OSU.
Well, let's do that. Let's play for the real OSU.
The
black and orange.
Yes.
What I would say though is you're not wrong on Oklahoma State. I can't believe Gundy still is employed by them. That is as complete a game as you can possibly have.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, they did everything you wanted. They had pick sixes. Their defense shut them down, didn't allow a touchdown. They threw the ball. They ran the ball. They had return. Like, they were unreal in that game. And that, I think that's just the thing here is looking at that schedule. You know, the NFL is so week to week, you can't do it.
No.
College is, it's people that are 18 to 22 thinking how we think, which is not the right way to think of, like,
no, rat poison is real. That's the thing that Saban, you always used to talk about, like, don't listen to the media. Don't listen to what people are saying. Don't focus on any of that.
And now you get a chance where, God, I cannot wait to see, you know, it's dumb. I don't care about this most weeks. I can't wait to see what they wear. I want to get to this game.
Did you see the cleats that they announced yesterday?
No.
They already unveiled the cleats.
Are they green?
They are,
They're dark blue, aren't they?
They are not dark blue. They are not wearing dark blue.
Do they have a Nittany Lion on them somewhere?
They are called mummy cleats.
Okay.
And they're white.
Yeah.
And they glow in the dark with green highlights.
Do you think they're going to go with white at the White
House? They better go stormtroopers. I think it leads to my thought that they will be stormtroopers.
A way to lean in and
kind of
steal
a lean
it
in.
From them,
the
right?
The mummy, it's, you know, we're wrapped up in white.
What's the Madison, the jump around?
Jump around, everybody jumps around.
He likes
Pavlov's
to do stuff
dog.
Like that, yeah.
I called that a couple weeks ago, so yeah. I do think they'll go white. I also think, like, for them, this is the sad reality of the sport, where I love college football more than anything on this planet, and I love Oregon football. It's my most passionate fandom of any of the fandoms that I have. There's a lot of weeks where it just...
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks.
Your
it
opponents
sucks.
Are not
And
good,
the first
yeah.
month of the season has yeah. been that. Now you go on the road to Penn State where it matters. Indiana's coming to town on October 11th. All of a sudden, there's a little bit of juice in that game, would you say?
USC later on.
You got yeah, USC UW, coming to town. UW, like UW, So yeah. some of them are not great, like Wisconsin and Minnesota and Rutgers. Like, doesn't do a lot for you.
Sure.
But there's a couple of games remaining on the schedule that now all of a sudden are far more interesting than maybe they were at the start of the year.
Maybe it's better to be a Beaver fan. Every game matters.
That is true.
You don't know if you're going to win.
You have no idea what's going to happen most weekends.
We'll get back into college football. There were a lot of losers in college football. We have a loser smorgasbord of audio for the Daily Ticker coming up next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas, Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
That's right. The Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, who invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City, and soon to be Rockaway, Oregon, USA.
Try that.
My wife was like, hey, are they football games tomorrow? And I said, you mean NFL Sunday?
You mean, yeah, like all day football?
And
yeah.
She immediately goes, yeah. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, I want to go to the beach. And I go,
7 hours of commercial-free football starts now.
I would have, but I didn't know if my 7 hours of commercial-free football would come through live and clear at any one of the coastal stops we would go to.
You're not quite sure if it's going to come through on the old YouTube TV on the phone.
Let's focus on losers.
Let's do it. I love laughing at losers.
Some big losers in college football this weekend. One debatable loser. I didn't pull any cuts from his postgame, but Auburn might have gotten absolutely screwed at Oklahoma.
I have never seen... The conference came out afterwards and basically said,
yeah, we screwed that up.
Our bad.
Gave him a free touchdown.
That shouldn't have counted. And they won the game by a touchdown.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
So I played football, tackle football, for the first time in fourth grade. I played in fifth grade as well. And I was one of the faster kids on our team when I was a little squirt. And we had that play.
The fake go to the sideline, yeah. Run for the touchdown.
We were so bad. We got obliterated by everybody we played. But one of the only scores we had the whole season was when I went and I turned and I faked and my coach said, put your fists on your hips.
Yeah.
And I looked like I was watching and nobody guarded me and they threw it out and I caught it and I scored. I've scored on that play.
It's like the hidden ball trick in baseball.
Yeah.
Works every once in a while. When you see it, it's always fun. But that is technically illegal in college football. You cannot pretend to go to the sideline and then run down the field in a route.
Let's start with one that you had noted all week, man. Are they going to finally do it?
No.
No, they're not. Matt Rule of Nebraska, I believe I saw the stat correctly. They've lost 28 straight.
They have not beaten a ranked. Do you know the last ranked win that they have as a program?
Is it against your Ducks?
It is against my Ducks, who that season went 4-8, yeah. But were ranked at the time of the game. That's the last time. It was in 2016 that Nebraska beat a ranked opponent.
Well, Nebraska did not win. They lost to Michigan. They gave a bunch of explosives. They couldn't stop the run game when they needed to.
They were largely body bagged outside of a late first half Hail Mary. They should have lost the game by 2 touchdowns.
Well, yeah, they lost to Michigan at home. Big moment for them. Not so good a result. Matt Rule, do you like where your team is at?
I don't like where we're at right now. I feel like someone, you know, hit me with a hammer right now. I mean, I wanted to win the football game and I thought we would win the football game. It's like anything else. There's things that we're exposed that have to be improved or we won't be the team that we want to be. There's other things that I thought were excellent, you know, and so it just, you know, it's just going back and methodically the same process, the same approach we had after games we've won, lost, the games we've won. Like I told the team, like I watched Georgia, Tennessee, and you know, Georgia beat Tennessee last week, a game that Tennessee probably should have won. I didn't leave saying, like, oh, Tennessee's done. I mean, you know, it's just, hey, we're going to have to improve this and improve that and ascend from there. So I'm sure we're disappointed. But you know what? We're going to play a bunch more games. So we'll get back to work. And, like I said, I thought the guys, you know, they competed. The other team competed as well. Michigan competed as well. So I thought that was a good Big Ten football game. Just we came out on the wrong end of it.
Again.
Just again. It was a good reminder of sometimes you get these teams who look awesome offensively against inferior opponents, and then when you haven't been there yet and you're not there yet, it's exposed pretty quickly at the line of scrimmage. And I thought that's what this game was. They were exposed at the line of scrimmage. Michigan ran the ball down their throat whenever they wanted to. Underwood didn't do a ton. He did use his legs, which he's starting to do more, and that's going to make them a problem the rest of the season. I'm kind of glad that Oregon doesn't have to play them late in the year this year.
Yeah, they don't seem like a fun team to defensively go against.
He's only
going
to continue to get better.
Yeah, Justice Haynes and
dude, he's running all over
Underwood
people.
Are
yes.
really good.
But it also just, it's a reminder of like championship level football has different level of play at the line of scrimmage. It doesn't mean you can't look good in moments. Doesn't mean you can't pull off a win every now and then, but it just is a different level of physicality. And Michigan had that the entirety of the game. There's never been a better opportunity for them to plant their flag with a quote unquote ranked win than a freshman quarterback on, like, this was your chance. Now their schedule is incredibly easy the rest of the way. They might still win 9 games this year, but all the talk of maybe being a dark horse to make the playoffs is completely out the window.
We move on. I thought this was the most shocking result. There was a lot this weekend. Dabo Swinney, one of them. I actually thought the most shocking thing I saw in all of sports, aside from me waking up at 6:55 for Premier League Soccer.
Did anybody watch this game? That's what I want to know.
No.
Did anybody out there watch this game?
Not a chance.
Nope. Not a chance.
But we all saw the, well, I hope we saw the result. If you didn't, Cal lost this weekend for the first time.
They did.
34-0. Hold on.
Hold on.
Buckle up.
Wait for it.
Stop. Slow your car down.
Wait.
San Diego State.
Wait,
huh?
34-0. San Diego State.
Wow.
San Diego State was thought of as maybe one of the worst teams in all of college football.
All of college football.
That's how they got housed by the Cougs.
Justin Wilcox, confidence. Should you have confidence?
You don't gift anybody confidence. You earn confidence through preparation and demonstrated performance. We have shown that we can play much better than that. It's very disappointing that we didn't put our best foot forward today. We are well aware of San Diego State coming off a bye. They're a good football team. They have good players. But for whatever reasons, the individuals, the units, and the team collectively did not play our best football tonight, and that's unacceptable. So that's why I say everybody's got to look at themselves in the mirror, identify what we can change and adapt to make sure that next week we come out and play the way we're capable of. But you don't gift somebody confidence and tell them everything's going to be okay. There's enough people doing that, okay? We don't get to wallow in pity. We have to go to work, identify the things that we need to change so that that doesn't happen again. But, you know, to say, hey, it's okay, forget about it, we're not doing that. You don't get to do that. It's not part of the deal.
It's about as pissed off a post game as I've watched in a long time. That guy's not really a big soundbite.
No.
And you could feel the vitriol coming through the screen of, I can't believe that just happened to us. Here was how it unfolded, because you didn't watch. San Diego State opening the game with the ball, punt. Cal then goes on a 75-yard drive, turnover on downs.
That was the only thing I saw this game was he had a nice pass on their first drive that got him down to like the 10-yard line, and I was scrolling on Twitter, and I was like, oh, look at that. Cal's going to light up San Diego State, and I didn't think about the game the rest of the night.
San Diego State got the ball on that turnover. Punt. Cal got the ball back. Punt. San Diego State busts a big one. 3 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. 7-0. Next Cal possession. Punt. San Diego State. 7 plays, 25 yards. So clearly something awful happened on the punt.
Yeah.
Field goal, 10-0 San Diego State. Cal followed with a missed field goal. San Diego State got another field goal. Cal punted again. San Diego State punted. Yeah. Cal fumbled. San Diego State returned it for a touchdown. Cal then punted again. San Diego State punted. Interception, pick six, boom. And then he followed up the pick six another interception. It's 27-0 at that point.
They benched
Garen Sagapotile.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to. Whatever. I mean, the kid was in his own kitchen.
They benched him. That if there was, if you looked up the definition of rat poison in the dictionary, there would be a screen grab of the box score of this game.
That is still, by the way, his quarterback. He's not off of him as a starter. I think they took him out for mental health reasons.
He threw two bad picks and they were down 34-0. And why is this kid still in the game? Get him the hell out of there. This is after a week of they're 3-0. They beat Minnesota at home late night, a win over a Big Ten team. And they became, speaking of trendy picks for the College Football Playoff, they don't play the four best teams, at least from a talent standpoint, in the entire conference this year. They don't play Georgia Tech. They don't play Clemson. They don't play Miami. They don't play Florida State. They don't play any of them. And everybody all of a sudden looked at Cal like, oh, my God, are they going to make a run at this thing?
They're at Boston
College. Are they this year's Indiana? Yeah. And then they lost 34-0 to San Diego State. That is a week of sniffing your own farts that then go directly to your brain and ruin your ability to play football.
He said nothing in practice would have indicated that that's what we would go and do. College football is filled with haves and have-nots. It's also filled with everybody has a version of the same thing. It's just different versions.
Right.
So Oregon's awful, terrible defensive performance this weekend against Oregon State, in which they won 41-7, was their look ahead to Penn State. Cal's version of that was actually losing to San Diego State.
Getting
because
shut out, not just losing 34-0.
Because they were looking ahead to mighty Boston College.
I think it's a game that they expected after being 3-0 that San Diego State got housed by the Cougs. We roll out the balls and we're going to dominate this game. And they clearly did not come ready to play.
I can't believe that happened. That's the most shocking thing I saw in all of sports this weekend.
I didn't even realize it till I woke up Saturday morning and I'm scrolling through social media. What am I missing? Who's in? Who's out? What am I? You know, any last bets I want to get in for the NFL? And I'm like, wait a minute, Cal? What? What happened here? And we all had to go back and double take.
I just follow up. You cannot give me a close number two in the running for most shocking thing. That the Browns beating the Packers isn't even sniffing how shocked I was when I saw 34-0 San Diego State over Cal.
The Falcons losing 30-0 at the Carolina Panthers was shocking, and it's not even in the same galaxy as Cal losing 34-0 to San Diego State.
I'll put that up as a poll question. What is the most shocking thing from the sports weekend? Because I would argue it is that.
Has to be that.
The Daily Ticker brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Four coastal locations, soon to be a fifth. Pelican wants you to go visit the coast and have a good time with some brews with your crews.
Yeah, I like brews with crews.
I didn't know where I was going with that. I just kind of said it. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's get to what is happening here. Is the end near for this? Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you watch Wrestlepalooza?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. Well, it's all over ESPN. I just asked.
Wrestlepalooza?
Well, they're in bed with WWE now, so it's...
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I was watching real sports this weekend.
Most shocking thing in football this weekend, because I forgot, one of our listeners, Andrew, pointed this out over the weekend.
What did we forget?
We probably won't get to it, but it does deserve mentioning at least on a Monday and maybe a follow-up. The Tigers might blow a 10-game divisional lead in like 11 days.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, mid-July, they were up 15.5 on the Indians.
In their last 10 games, they're 1-9, and the Guardians are 9-1.
So they've made up 9 games in the last.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
They're still the Indians. They'll always be the Indians. Why not?
I mean, they changed their name. That's why not.
They did change to the Guardians. Okay, the Chargers are still in San Diego.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, there you go. So I'll keep it to just football, but that is a crazy divisional blown lead.
That is pretty bananas.
But it's baseball, but still crazy.
Yes.
The Mets are challenging them. The Reds now hold the final wild card slot in the National League.
The Mets, but the Mets didn't lose. I mean, they weren't in the divisional lead the way that this is happening.
No, they should have been in a divisional lead because they were great at the start of the year. They've been more of a slow bleed. That's been like a 2 month stretch for the Mets where they've been playing terrible baseball, maybe longer than that. Whereas the Tigers, it's mostly just in the last, 4 weeks.
Well, the poll question is up. What was the most shocking thing in football this weekend? Cal losing 34-0 to San Diego State, Browns beating the Packers, the Falcons losing 30-0 to Carolina, or Dabo falling to 1-3.
1-3 Dabo.
And that one.
Bye-bye.
Wasn't pretty against Troy, I'll tell you that much.
They very easily could be 0-4 at this point in the season.
Well, Andrew, at one point in time, before we kicked off the football season, you picked Clemson. Only you picked Clemson
only
to be
me,
good
huh?
this year.
I was the only one who had Clemson doing anything this season.
I don't know, Swag. Do you see a Spraggy poll? Do you see any of those tweeted out every week? I don't have any evidence that I did that.
Go ahead and pull up my show sheet here, and let's pull up our national title predictions for the college football season. Oh, look at that. I have a Clemson national championship from Brandon Sprague.
Somebody's keeping receipts.
Oh, anybody can change their own show sheet. Wow. I mean, I can do that. It's ridiculous.
Clemson winning the title.
Dabo lost this weekend to Syracuse and didn't just lose. I would argue they got blown out at home. This stadium was empty in the fourth quarter, and they were being booed for most of the second half.
Another big lightning delay, because I was driving back from Eugene, and I'm like, why is the game still at this? I just got all confused, and I realized there was a long weather delay.
Well, here is Dabo on losing to Syracuse and falling to 1-3.
Obviously, an incredibly disappointing outcome and start to our season. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. I mean, just a lot of pain. I've been in a lot of painful locker rooms. That was up there near the top, and man, my heart just hurts for our team and our fans. Thought our fans showed up today, did a great job, and we just didn't get it done. It's incredibly frustrating. We just can't seem to get on the same page and play complimentary football. We can't seem to get it all together, and we kind of work against each other.
I didn't really give a lot when they fell to 1-2 into the narrative of we played his audio last week, and he's like, "Well, you wouldn't take this, this not good enough for you?"
Right, very defensive, Dabo.
I almost wonder if he was speaking into a mirror. Like, he sees that he has fallen behind the eight ball in this new world of college football. He refuses to lean into it fully. I am starting to kind of ask out loud, because of how bad they played, is where that relationship is. And I don't know if they're going to fire him. Based on what I've seen at Oklahoma State, I have no indication they're ever going to fire Dabo. But, dude, it's about as low as it's ever been. This is their worst start since 2004.
It's a long time ago, Bob. Long time ago. And that was a shocking result this weekend, because you usually see elite teams that are well-coached get off the mat after a tough emotional loss, right? Like, the reality of them losing the week before to Georgia Tech on the fire drill field goal, that's something that can maybe kind of spur them to work harder and be more focused, and here comes Clemson. Remember, that's what they did last year. They lost a couple of games early in the season, and all of a sudden you look up and you're like, damn, they're 8-2 or whatever they were going into 9-2 going into the South Carolina game, and they ended up winning the conference. So this is a team that found its groove later in the season. For them to lose that game the way that they did and to get really dominated defensively, like Syracuse kind of did whatever they wanted to early in that game offensively, that's alarming. And they're not in a good spot right now.
Their defense looks like they've kind of quit, because they have no offense.
They have no offense.
I'm tired of this.
Well, I also, there's a whole other can of worms here. I know we're against it.
We can take this over, because I think there's two coaches we need to have conversations about in that sport.
Them not using the portal is not killing them for the reason that I think it's killing them for. It's killing them for another reason that I thought about this weekend.
All right, great. That's a good little tease going into the third hour. We'll carry that over and talk about it. There's another legendary coach in the sport of college football you have forgotten about, and it was the most obvious thing to say that guy was not going to do well. So we can talk about that. A little more college football. We'll dive back into the NFL. Loaded third hour. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 Portland Sports Leader.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of you Browns You know fans. Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.